Well, we know there's a government shutdown in place. How much is that going to weigh on how we see the markets and the information that we're so used to readily having availability to? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield at World Dairy Expo. Arlen Suderman joins us this afternoon with StoneX. So midnight came and went, and unfortunately, the government turned into a pumpkin. What are we going to see moving forward, and how do you see that weighing in on this trade?
Yeah, I think there's some indications this might be a more prolonged shutdown. Most shutdowns are very, very short and inconsequential, except for those people directly impacted. But as far as looking at the broader markets, this one may go a little bit longer. The longest one in my memory is from December of 2018 into January 2019. It went 35 days. That cost our U.S. economy $3 billion. But put it in perspective, that's 0.02% of GDP. So still rather small overall. It is a big deal for those people not getting paid. It's a big deal for those who may be missing services they need. And for farmers, that's like FSA offices, et cetera. But it also means no reports that we lean on in the marketplace. The flash USDA export sales reports, the weekly export sales reports, weekly export inspections reports, weekly crop progress and condition reports, and the WASDE report may end up getting delayed or canceled as well. We did that last in, yes, January 2019, where it was canceled, but also in October of 2013 when the WASDE report was canceled. That leaves us without USDA's production estimates until November. It leaves the market kind of in a fog in the meantime, leaning on private sector data.
Well, that brings up an interesting thing because StoneX always puts out a customer survey, and that is going to be taking place here shortly for you guys. How do you see that weighing in, and then the important role that these customer surveys are going to take?
Yeah, I think it would take a much bigger role in the absence of USDA data. Now, don't interpret any of my comments as having seen the data or anything, because I don't see the data until shortly before it's released. So I haven't seen the data as we're speaking, but it'll be released later this afternoon. And basically, everyone's looking for how much will the size of the corn crop be reduced? Will the soybean crop be reduced? If so, what will the scope of the change be? Generally, the harvest yields that we've seen so far argue for a much lower corn yield, if you want to believe the anecdotal reports. On soybeans, it's a much different story. Even in some of the most drought-stricken areas, we are seeing, yeah, there are some poor yields, but we're seeing some very impressive yields. And even one person in Nebraska who blew his record yield out by 20 bushels per acre. So soybeans, it's a different question, and kind of anxious to see what kind of movement we do get on those yields as well.
So as you look at those, and I mean, in all this information, how do you see our marketing process, I guess, changing right now during a government shutdown, or is it going to be as much possible business as usual?
The last data we got from USDA came out on September 30th with bearish stocks and small grain summary reports. That set the tone. Fortunately, we saw the corn market, for December corn specifically, bounce off of chart support at the 50% retracement level. That's retracing half of the August low to September high rally. And we traced it down, and that held for now. Hopefully, that'll form some type of a bottom to the trading range, and exporters will continue to buy these breaks and keep demand strong. For soybeans, we got a bounce on when soy oil bounced off of chart support. That helped provide some support for soybeans, but their biggest problem now is a lack of Chinese demand, lack of Chinese buying. And with the government shutdown, that's going to further delay getting clarity on our biofuels program, which we expect to be strong demand. For soybeans, may have a bigger problem there. On wheat, supported corn does help if we can hold corn prices here, but we've got more bushels that we need to move in the wheat market. It's been trying to find a price that'll move those bushels. Fortunately, export demand has been very strong for wheat this year as cheap prices kind of stink, but they have really helped our export demand.
So looking at the livestock side real quick here, Arlen, obviously negativity is kind of filtered right back into the cattle complex.
It has. Overall, this market does find some support. We bounced off a chart support again for the nearby October contract. We held kind of that 230 level on the futures market. Feeder cattle saw the greatest strength yesterday, but pulled back again today. The border being closed with Mexico and Secretary Rollins' comments on Sunday on social media would seem to indicate that maybe we're going to be closed indefinitely there for the foreseeable future in any realm. But we do have a lot of speculative money in these markets, and it does look like they're doing some profit taking right now.
What should we be watching for these livestock as we move towards the rest of this week?
Oh, I think the watch is going to be the cash market now. As we're getting into Thursday and Friday, we anticipate seeing that cash market develop. We've seen a few head move in the northern feedlot belt at a little bit cheaper than what we were last week. The supply of cattle is a little bit higher in the northern belt, obviously tighter in the south. So we'll see how that spread unfolds this week.
All right, thanks so much. Arlen Suderman joining us this afternoon. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the Wednesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.